serves 100 ships a day. Lonely sailors pass the time away and talk about their homes. And there's a girl in this harbor town, and she works laying whiskey down. They say, "Brandy, fetch another round." She serves them whiskey and wine.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. I was telling these guys how much I love Engineer Sleep and EngineerSleep.com. And I had a nice nap yesterday with my daughter, and I'm looking right now at all my sleep and on my my Whoop band, and I got all the hours I needed and the efficiency I needed and an 83% sleep performance, and got 7 hours and 58 minutes of sleep last night. Of that, an hour 20 of REM sleep and an hour 19 of deep sleep, and was only awake for 5 seconds the entire night. Engineer Sleep, EngineerSleep.com. Man, I can't wait to get on there. My daughter today, we'll get another little nap time in there. Even though she kicks and screams to begin with, she loves it in the end. We love Engineer Sleep. Hey, go buy 10% off WCCP listeners. Free local delivery and pickup of your old mattress. 100-night sleep trial. The best mattress in the world is Engineer Sleep, and I can say that with confidence, EngineerSleep.com. Let me get Delvin. He's been very patient with me. Delvin, thank you for your patience. How you doing this morning, my friend?
Doing good. How you guys doing this morning?
Couldn't be better.
I mean, I don't know if y'all talk about this not, but why you need to talk? I haven't heard y'all talk about the big transfer portal pickup Clemson can pick this weekend. The quarterback, Hunter Helms, man.
Hunter Helms is back. I thought Hunter Helms is 42 years old, but apparently Hunter Helms is back at Clemson. Yeah. So
and he got something coming with Kay Klubnik.
That
you know what
he,
that is?
No, I have no idea.
They let each team to the playoffs last year.
Oh, how about that? Hunter Helms at the 1AA level?
Yeah, they rolled out into a playoff win, too.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Hunter Helms coming back and getting the coaching slash football deal there. Am I right by saying this? His first year at Clemson –
yeah.
Was 2020. And so he's within the 9 years. So that's good. He's within the 9 year window that we allow now. So that's good. Good for him.
Yeah, that's crazy, but yeah. Okay, I heard you talking about Bill Belichick and talking about his skills. Their first game was tough, man. Josh Hoover is a good quarterback for TCU. And they had, 9 wins last year to beat TCU.
And look, I don't know. What does TCU have, right? TCU's favorite in the game? I wasn't surprised by that.
I think because of the quarterback, that's why.
Yeah, could be.
Because he was a good quarterback.
He did a great job for sure. But how do you know, like, the South Alabama quarterback, like, is he going to be the guy in Chapel Hill?
Is it going to be Max Johnson? You know, he got hurt last year in the first game.
Is he back? Max Johnson's back?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Bryce Barker, the freshman, is there also.
Yeah.
So, I didn't realize Max is still around. Now, Max is an old one, too, isn't he? Max has been around. He's a long of the tooth.
Yeah.
With his LSU days and all that. So, didn't realize he was back. Let me see if I'm right by saying that.
I'll give you somebody to coach. You talking about J.D. and all that. Yeah, you don't know what they got on their team and all the this one transfer portal is crazy because new coaches, new team, and all these team players transferred out, so you don't know what you really – basically, you don't know what you got to the first game of the season.
Yeah. Max started at Texas A&M, then went to LSU, then went to Texas A&M. And now he's at North Carolina. You know, it's rare you get three big schools out of a quarterback like that. But those are three pretty big schools. Max Johnson, so far. Last year at North Carolina, 12-19 for 71 yards, no touchdowns, and an interception. The year before at A&M, 1,400 yards, 9 touchdowns, 5 picks. It might be Max Johnson. I didn't realize he was still there.
Yeah.
For his graduate transfer season. Thank you, Dale. Appreciate the phone call. Maybe Max Johnson takes over. Guy's been around the block a little bit. All right, I wanted to do this. There is a guy out there that I like that I don't think anyone else on earth likes. And to be honest with you, I'm not even sure why I like. I gave you that homework assignment during the first hour. Did you guys get it? Maybe somebody in your head that you like that nobody else likes. You'll like this one. This is not how I'm talking about here, Landon. But no other Yankee fan like Big Poppy. I like Big Poppy. Like Big Poppy was like a guy, he's lovable, big old teddy bear, squeezable guy. I liked him. But the guy I'm thinking of with this is, and I go back to stories. When Rich Rodriguez was the offensive coordinator here, I was told a story the other day by one of the former players. And Rich Rodriguez was supposed to get the Texas Tech job. I told you, I'm in Burton Burns' office afterwards. He comes back and he comes in and tells his guys, tells Burton. Burton said, hey, are you new head football coach at Texas Tech? He goes, nope, turn him down. He goes, why is that? And Rich says, have you ever been to Lubbock, Texas before? Burton said, no. He said, don't go. They can't recruit there. Can't get it done. So he stayed. Parlayed that into the West Virginia job. Parlayed that into the Michigan job. And then Arizona and Jacksonville State. And now back to West Virginia. But with that said, the best story I've ever heard on Rich Rodriguez is that apparently the players were like in the weight room working out. And the crawler crawls across the bottom of the screen. Rich Rodriguez turns down Texas Tech to remain at Clemson. And the guy tells me that every offensive player is like, oh, no. He's like, no, my God, he's coming back. And he said, it's almost like when you lose your coach, how depressed everybody was. He was coming back to Clemson, and everybody was depressed. Because Rich Rodriguez had dog-cussed everybody on the campus. And I'm talking about dog cussed. Everybody was wrong about everything. He yelled and screamed all the time. But I'll be honest with you. His offenses were good, man. They scored points, buddy. And watching Woody Dancer run around and watching this offense run around and make plays, like, man, that was fun. I liked Rich Rodriguez. I liked Rita. I liked that whole family. I liked how it all worked out. And you look at it. That year they beat 22nd ranked, the first year, by the way, beat 22nd ranked Virginia, scored 33 on them, scored 31 in a win against North Carolina, scored 31 in a loss to NC State that year, scored 42 at Maryland and won, scored 58 on Duke and 42 on 13th ranked Georgia Tech in a loss, beat South Carolina, scored 31 on them. And then the next year in 2000, his final year, he scored 38 on Citadel, 62 on Missouri, 55 on Wake Forest, 31 on Virginia, 52 at Duke, 34 at NC State, 35 at Maryland, 38 at North Carolina. They were undefeated. Scored 28 in the loss to Georgia Tech, beat South Carolina 16-14, and then lost in the Gator Bowl that year. But, man, that team, those offenses were dynamic and fun to watch. I always liked Rich Rodriguez. And I tell you this, I mentioned this many times about Rich Rodriguez. When he was at West Virginia, they had it rolling. Slayton and White, they went 3-8, 9-4, 8-5, 8-4, then went 11-1, 11-2, and 10-2. He finished in the top 10 country all 3 years there. He mistakenly, and he had it going, and they lost to Pittsburgh that 1 year, had a chance to go to the national championship game. He mistakenly took the Michigan job. Lloyd Carr left him with nothing. They lost their leading receiver in school history in Manningham, the leading rusher in Hart, and the leading quarterback. I forgot who that one was. The left tackle was a first-round draft pick, number one pick, whatever. They lost everybody. Lloyd Carr knew he was getting out and stopped recruiting, and there was no transfer portal, and he took over nothing. And then Lloyd Carr had an office right across the street from him. It was a nightmare. With that said, he went Michigan. He went 3-9. Then 5-7, then 7-6. They were turned around. They were getting better. And Michigan fired him. He had a good run at Arizona where he went 8-5, 8-5, 10-4, finished 17th in the country, 7-6, 3-9, 7-6. Then I think a good run at Jacksonville State. I'm telling you right now, I think Rich Rodriguez is going to win at West Virginia. He might run off every player in the world. It might be a big transfer portal every single year. People who worked with him didn't like him. I didn't have to work with him, obviously. But I don't know why, man. Like, I'm pulling for Rich Rodriguez at West Virginia. I think sometimes you just got to be a jerk sometimes. You know, like the librarian's got to tell you to be quiet. The guy writing the parking tickets, he's not a nice man. He's giving you a parking ticket. You parked illegally. It's his fault because he's mean and writing you a ticket. Sometimes you got to be a jerk. You don't have to be a jerk. But sometimes you can't be nice. You got to yell and scream at people a little bit. He didn't mind yelling and screaming at people. And maybe he's matured now. You know, when he left here 25 years ago, he was a 30-year-old man, 20-something-year-old man. Now he's a 62-year-old man. Maybe he's mellowed a little bit. So, A, are you like me? Do you like the unlikable Rich Rodriguez?
I've never had a problem with Rich Rod. Yeah. I didn't know that story until a couple weeks ago about the locker room reaction.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean.
The guy said they were moping like for days, like, oh, no, he's coming back. Like, they thought for sure, hey, this is it. That, oh, we finally got rid of this guy. He said it was like a funeral, like somebody passed away in the weight room. It's like, oh, God, this guy's coming back. But you know what, though? The offense the next year, they put up huge numbers. Woody Dantzler put up massive numbers in this offense. So, but you don't have a problem with him?
Not at all, no. And I loved that triple option style offense they ran with Pat White. That was, oh, man.
I'm at the Sugar Bowl in Atlanta, and they're playing Georgia, all right? And I'm in the bathroom at halftime, and I'm not pulling for either team. I got no dog in the fight, but I've never been to Sugar Bowl before. And remember, because of Hurricane Katrina, we had the Sugar Bowls in Atlanta, and I got offered free tickets. I'm like, yeah, I'll go. I got a problem with that. I'll go. And West Virginia comes out. And it's 31-21 West Virginia at halftime. They scored 31 points. Oh, by the way, Georgia scored in the last minute of the first half because it's 31-14 before that. But West Virginia comes out and they go on a 52-yard drive, another 3-play 52-yard drive, a 6-play 64-yard drive, a 6-play 64-yard drive, a 5-play 26-yard touchdown drive. They're up 28-0. Now, Georgia comes roaring back, and a guy in the restroom inside me is barking, and he's telling me, oh, man, the second half's going to be totally different. And I said, you better hope so, because y'all got your butts kicked in the first half. And he goes, watch, it's going to be different. West Virginia goes on to win 38-35. Georgia never led in the game. And they West Virginia kind of held on 38-35. But a couple of things stuck out in that game. West Virginia had 502 yards of offense. They had 382 yards of rushing offense. Steve Slayton had 204 yards rushing. Pat White had 77 yards rushing. Pat White was number 5. Steve Slayton was number 10. And I told the guy in front of me at the bathroom, I was like, 5-10, man, 5-10. You getting tired of watching 5-10. Those guys rushed for 3 touchdowns between them. Pat White only threw it 14 times, didn't have to. Georgia had no stop at all for 5-10. And West Virginia goes 11-1, beats Georgia. 8th-ranked Georgia, by the way, is favorite in the game, in Atlanta. Man, that guy had it rolling. And mistakenly, first of all, he took the Alabama job and then backed out. He didn't sign a contract at Alabama. He was the hottest coach in the country. And it goes to show you how sometimes, man, you take one little wrong fork in the road and it can derail your career. And he's worked this whole time to get back to that. Now he's back at West Virginia again. Should have never left West Virginia. Had it going. All right, so I'll ask you. Well, who's the guy in sports that you like that people just don't like?
Oh, I know this will be controversial, especially the last time I came on and said good things about him the next day. Actually, I think it was later in that same day, he trashed Clemson. But I still like him. Lane Kiffin.
You like Lane Kiffin.
I still like Lane Kiffin.
Yeah. Lane Kiffin he's a polarizing figure. I'll give you that. People like him or they hate him. I like Lane Kiffin. I think Lane Kiffin is refreshing. I got a Lane Kiffin story to tell you in a minute. Landman.
For me, it's probably Pat McAfee. A lot of people don't like you aren't a fan, I'm pretty sure, right?
And, not a fan, and here's my
and I just I like his energy, you know. He lightens it up, and like I've told you before off air, like He just seems to bring a different side out of the players that we don't see when you got Feinbaum trying to talk to people. Like, because, you know, players just kind of cut themselves off when they want to talk to media. But with him, they kind of feel a little bit more connected, so you hear a lot more.
I think the yelling and screaming and getting up on chairs and wearing the tank tops, the wife beaters or whatever you call those things, like, to me, that will run old. I don't think that's a long-term deal. I think he'll fade out, he'll burn out, and people will get – to me, it's a one-trick pony kind of thing. Now, look, Skip Bayless has made a long career out of being a one-trick pony. Stephen A. Smith has made a lot of money by being a one-trick pony. And maybe we're so dumb now we fall for one-trick ponies. I'm just not sure there's a substance to Pat McAfee. I'm going to be tougher. I'm going to get up there and act like I'm in it. And I'm on that. And then, okay, Pat, you did that last week. Like, at some point in time, I go, you got to give me a little something extra. You know?
I mean, he's been there for, this will be the third year.
Hey, look, I'll give you this. Kenny Chesney sang a bunch of songs about the beach in high school, being good in high school football. And Jimmy Buffett made it sing a bunch of songs about the beach and being on a boat. Maybe that's a two-trick pony, beaches and boats. But I don't know. Maybe he's good enough at that one trick that he'll trick us longer. I just got a feeling like some point in time we'll go, wow, we're doing this again this year? He's going to get up and yell and say a couple of cuss words and get away with it again this year, and this is what we're going to do? I don't know.
But did it not feel that way when Lee Corso started?
I still think Corso, I'm surprised the one-trick pony lasts as long as it did there.
That's what I'm saying. Sometimes it's just, it catches certain people's eye. I like how he does the chants from each. Now, one of them wasn't appropriate, but the all the other ones, I like how he does his research and he goes around and he learns how to get the crowd involved.
You mean a team tells him what to do? Like somebody writes that for him, that research?
No, he actually goes out the day he goes up a week before or the day before because he does his show.
And he goes, he drinks at a bar and people tell him what to say.
Yeah.
That research? Okay.
Hey, yeah. You still got to go out there and find it.
Yeah, it's good. He's good. He's talented, boy. He's really talented. Short break. We'll come back. And when we do, Dr. Milt Louder. By the way, get your questions for Dr. Louder. Send them in on our Adams and Carovia text line, 654-ROAR, 654-7627. Love to hear you. I'd love to hear from you and ask, and I'll try to pick these out and try to get as many questions as we can for a moment with Milt. The Patterson Tax Service does a terrific job. PATTX.com, PATTX.com, 864-859-8289. We love the Patterson Tax Service. Patterson Tax Service got my taxes done right. They've been doing them right for 17 years now. Couldn't imagine doing my taxes without them now. I have no idea what my taxes are. I hand them all my information. They do my taxes for me. We love the Patterson Tax Service. 864-859-8289. Get in touch with them today to help you out. Short break, a moment with Milt, amplos.com right after this.
Danny Ford here for my good friends at Bennett Equipment, who have stood the test of time selling and renting construction equipment for 25 years now. Bennett is one of the top five dealers in the country for Takeuchi compact equipment, and when you deal with Bennett and Takeuchi, you get the quality, dependability, and service you expect and deserve. So call or stop by today and tell them Danny Ford sent you. Take it from me, when you need equipment, buy it or rent it from Bennett.
Hello, sports fans. This is Bozy Boggs of the Boggs Law Firm, located in Greenville, South Carolina, but serving the upstate for over 20 years. We've always been happy to be long-term sponsors of the Mickey Plyler Show, WCCP. Just thank all the listeners who have used our firm in the past. And anyone who has a legal question in the future, don't hesitate to call us at 233-8066 or find us on the web at www.boggslawfirm.com. No case is too big or small, and I'd be happy to talk to you personally about your situation. And if I can't help you, I'll find someone that does.
There's a reason Elite Custom Golf Carts has quickly become the upstate's top golf cart dealer with the best prices and largest selection. We make your buying experience easy. Our amazing staff can help guide you in the process. Also offering free delivery to over 10 states and flat rate delivery to many more. Now the upstate's largest authorized Evolution and Denago EV dealer. The fastest growing golf cart brands in the industry. Visit Elite CustomGolfCarts.com for more information. And go Tigers!
60 years is a long time, especially when you're talking about how long a company has been in business. But that's exactly how long Joe Roberson and Son have been servicing and installing roofs right here in the upstate. 60 years. That means that many of the roofs you see every day, your neighbors, the roof at your favorite restaurant, or even the roofs you're driving past right now are likely a Joe Roberson and Son roof. Now you might be wondering why so many people here in the upstate have chosen Joe Roberson and Son for their roofing needs for 6 decades. And the answer is simple. They were founded on the principles of providing quality workmanship, fair pricing, and complete customer satisfaction. When you work with them, you won't pay a single dime until the job's been completed to your satisfaction. So if you have any roofing needs, do what so many people in the upstate have done for the past 60 years. Make it a Joe Roberson and Son roof. Call 246-0886. That's 246-0886. Or visit robersonroofing.net.
Be part of a winning team that's making a difference in your community at Arthrex. From creating thousands of new jobs and significant campus expansions, to fostering educational partnerships and philanthropic contributions, Arthrex is proud to be growing and investing in Anderson County. Experience an exciting career with a company that's dedicated to healthcare technology innovation and making people's lives better. Check out available jobs at careers.arthrex.com. No manufacturing experience required.
Hey Tiger fans, Don Munson here to tell you about Buff City Soap. You'll find delightfully scented plant-based soaps that are handmade daily. They're on a mission to create handmade products that are free of harsh ingredients and full of nourishing plant-based goodies to make your skin happy. They have beard oil, pet soap, bath bombs, laundry soap, body butter, and more. The Munson household is sold. Nourish your skin at Buff City Soap with 2 locations to serve you in the upstate. Hartwell Village Shopping Center in Clemson and the shops at Green Ridge in Greenville.
Out of Bounds returns Tuesday right here on The Roar. Ben Milson and I will continue to talk college football with you. We'll continue to talk ACC. We're going to turn our attention, though, to the Big Ten, where their propaganda arm was putting in some work last week in Las Vegas. SEC-esque, if I may. Plus, we're going to talk Braves. We're going to talk trade deadline. Do you know the Braves? They keep adding these over-the-hill pitching arms. We'll see if they do more of that or if they sell some pieces. Should be fun. Right here on The Roar. Don't miss it.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Are you incensed that you missed one of our daily shows?
And what do we have? We have an altercation of some sort down on the field. Shane Beamer is incensed, irate about something.
Stay calm. You can listen to all of our past shows at theroarfm.com and click on the podcast tab.
Don't talk enough about the seasoned potato fries over at Wendy's. You know, you got to accent that breakfast. Got to get the thing going. A little seasoned potato fries always, seasoned potatoes always help those things out. And cold coffee. You know, it's going to be 98 degrees today. Go ahead and get that cold coffee situation straightened out. We love our great friends over at Wendy's. Start your day with the breakfast burrito, the biscuit, the croissant, the English muffin, the Cinnabon. The variety is amazing. 2 for $3 Biggie bundle bag. We love our friends over at Wendy's. Start your day off right with Wendy's. It is a moment with Milt from Amplos.com. Dr. Milt Lauder, our sports and performance psychologist. Good morning, Dr. Lauder. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, what a beautiful start of the morning, Mickey. Having a great day. Hope you guys are.
We are. A quick prayer update for you. You guys doing okay? Your family?
We're doing great.
Awesome.
Yeah. Doing awesome. Great. Thanks for asking. I appreciate it.
All right. I have invited our we do this about once a month now. I've invited our listeners to chime in and ask you questions. I love this because this is quick and getting you some off-the-cuff questions here. And starting things out is 2905, who asked, Dr. Lauder, how to criticize constructively rather than being upset? I guess as a leader, criticizing those inside the family, inside the business, without doing it with anger, take away the anger factor and criticize them constructively and the difficulty and the task of doing that.
Yeah, I think what's so hard is that adrenaline is released, as we've talked about, when we're anxious, when we're mad, when we're upset, and we get a physiological reaction to that. They say anger is a secondary emotion. It's following something else. And so my tone of voice can be a little intense, and so trying to give feedback while even the least bit passionate or excited or frustrated, it comes across not so much maybe in the words, but in the intensity behind it. And I think Ralph Waldo Emerson said, what you do is so loud, I can't hear what you say. And so it's easier said than done, but what we're talking about is that initial reaction of anger and frustration and disappointment rarely leads to a productive conversation. And so creating a habit or a system or a process of being able to disengage from the emotion. A lot of people we work with write out what they want to say. They schedule time for that courageous conversation. And then when you do, you know, maybe overreact or the emotion is too strong, understanding, giving yourself permission to be human and be willing to apologize and say, I'm sorry for the way I handled that. Does it change the situation? Does it change that there has to be consequences? Those are some ideas and suggestions that I hope maybe help you out there. Thanks for the question. It's so hard.
It is. And the other part of it is, like, I have been on the end of criticism before, and there's a point in time in my life, and I even slip back into it naturally at times, where I become defensive rather than opening myself up to constructive criticism. And it's I become, that person doesn't know what they're talking about because of this, and this. I mean, part of it is and it is a relationship-based, and you got to build trust in a relationship through that, but it's also you. Like, you've got to be willing to accept it rather than be defensive. Remember, that was one of my New Year's resolutions: stop being defensive, and stop, because defensive is a point of weakness, man.
So we got to frame that. You got to frame that in a positive way. Criticism,
right,
and defensiveness. You know, that's exactly our reaction to it. But I think how much of emotional deposit have you put in that relationship? Again, the research suggests great teams, great relationships average 5 positive comments to every 1 negative comment. And so how many deposits have you made before you take the withdrawal? And then they understand, as John Robinson said, the old coach, I never criticize a player until I am sure that he understands how much I fully believe in him, and we have that relationship built on trust.
Here's a great question. 8660 asked, Dr. Lauder, what are some of the ways to compartmentalize work and home, as in how do I leave a bad day at work and still come home to be present and be a good husband and be a good father? Terrific situation. I know a lot of people go through on a daily basis.
Yeah, so what we talked about is how do I start my day and how do I end my day, and what's my routine and my process for engagement and disengagement. And an example is what we use with our players is how do I give each play a life of its own, meaning the next play is the one that's most important. Now, they have to do it in 20 seconds. And so when I've been at my best, going home is reminders used to be on my dash, on my phone. And what I had written out for me were the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Back to our previous question, I also had James 1:19 that said, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. And my routine when I left the office became driving through Cleveland Park in Greenville, putting my phone up and just meditating and focusing on those two verses. And that's how I wanted to show up at home. That's how I wanted to be present. And when I was good at that and diligent with that, it didn't mean that the chaos wasn't still happening at home, but I could be proud of how I showed up. And what I would encourage, and Mick, I don't know if I told the story about my daughter and Rush earlier this year. Have I told that story last year, this year? Do you remember?
No, you did not.
So So this will be hopefully helpful in a lot of situations, and it's really been powerful to me. So my daughter, McKee, last year was a freshman at Clemson. Was going to go through Rush and was really nervous about, you know, being judged, being for how she looks, what she wears, how she talks, where she's from, all those factors that can be so much pressure for these young people. And so we went to coffee a couple of days before, and she was just kind of sharing her heart with me. And I said, McKee, I understand. I can only imagine what that feels like. But you can't control other people and what they think or what they say or what they do. What you can control is how you show up. And she said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, write down the words that you would want to describe you of how you show up at these events. And she said, Dad, I want to be curious. I want to be at peace. I want to be grounded. I want to be confident. I want to be bold. I want to be authentic. And relevant to this question, I want to be present. So I said, write down those words and print them in your heart and your mind. And when you call me at night, I'm not going to say, McKee, did they love you? I'm going to say, McKee, were you proud of how you showed up? And so what I did not know is she went and created a Canva screensaver, and she put it on her phone, and she put it on her Mac, and she printed out and put it on her computer. She had a clear picture in her mind of how she wanted to show up. And I think that's what I would encourage the listener, and hopefully some of your listeners, to think about. How do I want to show up at work, and what's my mindset? What's my process of showing up the way I want to show up? But more importantly, how do I disengage, and what is my routine and process for how I want to show up at home? What are the words you want to describe you? How do you want other people to feel when you walk in the door? And if you create an environment, a system to put the distractions away, put the phone down, and be fully present.
I couldn't imagine being an 18-year-old female and having to go through Rush. Like, that would be terrifying. Like, they're going to judge everything about me and what I look like, and not knowing me. They're going to know me in 5 minutes. You're going to judge everything about me. Like, that would be, oh, whoever came up with that plan. That's just.
but what we know, Mickey, is if I don't have a clear picture of how I want to show up, guess what tends to happen?
Yeah.
I show up the way I don't want to show up. And I'm not proud of it. And a lot of people I used to work with, some of my professional athletes, you know, they would go home and they'd still be thinking about what happened on the golf course. And then they'd wake up and go to the golf course the next day and they'd be thinking about how they didn't show up well at home. So they were never fully present in any part of their life. And that's where life happens. And that's where performance takes place.
One of the best parts of fatherhood for me is, and I'll take it the other side. Like, not the bad day, but, like, I'll be so proud of myself because I did all these great things at work or great things in a day, and I'm thinking, oh, boy, I've got this thing figured out. And then I come home, and my son, he doesn't care. Now, that's great that he doesn't care because he thinks I'm great no matter what, because I'm going to have the bad day and do the bad day at work and do something wrong in there. But, you know, guess what? He doesn't care about that either. Man, what a great blessing that is. But on the other side of it, like Springsteen sings a song, talks about if his one wish would be like the kid's sins are all of his own, not what's passed down from the parent to the son. Like it's not my son's job to worry about what kind of day I had, right? To take that home with you, man, that's a heavy burden
not
for him.
Young. Yeah.
Right.
But guilt and shame are terrible motivators.
Oh.
So we want to, you know, control what we can control. But I think this question is one that we deal with so much, and we know we don't have the willpower or the emotional capacity as human beings to make the best decision to show up the right way, to respond the right way every time. But putting the odds in our favor about not only the mental image in our mind and the picture of how we want to show up and when are we at our best, but more importantly, what is a system and process to disengage from the day? What's a trigger? Because if I can structure my environment, then I have a better chance to accomplish what I want to accomplish, and more importantly, be who I want to be.
An opportunity, because that's the great news, that as bad as it was at work and as bad as I was before that, now, man, I got a whole fresh, clean slate. I can go home and it could be a good day, and I can be a good guy, and I can be the good husband, the good father. So that's the way you look at it. Like, now, you know, all that's behind you. I get to go home and do this now, which is fantastic. Here's a quick one. How do you deal with a younger sibling of a high-achieving older sibling? Man, that's a great one because you see that a lot. So, oftentimes, a younger sibling excels as well, trying to live up to the older sibling, but there's a lot of pressure on that as well. What would you say about the high-achieving older sibling in terms of how you deal with the younger one?
I think you got to recognize the gifts that each of us have, and we all have different gifts. And if you created the right environment at home, back to that mastery learning environment, are you rewarding effort and achieve, or are you rewarding achievement? And so comparison, as Roosevelt said, is a thief of joy. And so make sure that we give each child an opportunity to reward effort, to be good at something, to find something that they're passionate about. But how we talk about the older achieving, it's okay to celebrate that success, but make sure we're reinforcing the values that we think are really important at our home. And try to avoid the comparison and try to praise and label the behavior and not the child.
And on the other side of it too, but it does work, right? Oftentimes, like the motivation to see success, right? Because sometimes, you think about the other side, if you got a bad sibling, maybe that's a role model to them, but it does work out where you see the work, the dedication, the commitment, like it does work sometimes, but not by comparison.
Well, right? You got to have the right interpretation, Mickey. You got to have the right interpretation, and vicarious self-efficacy is one way to build it. But that younger child is coming to the world, and in this situation, maybe looking at two highly capable achieving adults and one highly capable achieving sibling, and you got to make sure that the narrative they are telling themselves, that they think they can do it as well. And a lot of times what we don't know and what I believe is the story you tell yourself about your life eventually becomes your life. And so if they at a young age are thinking, I don't have what it takes, I can never keep up, I can never measure up, then they're going to find what they're looking for. And so you got to make sure that you challenge those lies. And that's why it's so important that we help shape the mindset, that we reward the things that are within their control at such an early age. Because that narrative starts developing, and they're looking always, do I have what it takes? And how are we as parents making sure that we're affirming who they are, who they were created to be, what are their gifts, what are their unique talents, and rewarding the things that are within their control?
Fascinating stuff. I love the questions. I love the advice. And those are three pretty big picture topics that we hit on here in a short amount of time. Tell me about Amplus.com. What are you doing? Because I know you'd love to help others. By the way, I'm sorry if I didn't get to your question today. We just got run out of time with it. But how can you help folks? And tell me more about what you guys are doing.
Yeah, Mickey, I love the questions. I love that what did Bear Bryant say? No coach has ever won a game with what he knows is what his players know that matters. And I love how your listeners are kind of trying to think about, what does this mean for me? How do I put this into practice? And that's all we try to do at Amplos is present the science, the research, the experiences that we've learned and have been able to teach, and not only share in those experiences with others, but I love your listeners thinking about how to apply them.
Place to find it, Amplos.com. Get in touch with these good folks. You're going to love it. I had some friends here recently in the last couple of weeks say they've reached out, and they've done great work with you guys and continue to do those things. I can't thank you enough. Looking forward to maybe see what comes up between now and next week.
Me as well, Mickey. Thank you.
All right. Continued prayers. You and your wife, let us know what you need, anything. That's Milt Louder, Amplos.com. Short break, phone calls, one open phone line segment. Then Tony Morrell, a lot to do when you return after this.
Be part of a premier event when Little League International presents the Senior League Baseball World Series, July 26th through August 2nd in Easley at the J.B. Owens Ballpark. The world's best 13 to 16-year-olds from the U.S., Europe, Asia, Canada, Latin America, and Australia come to Easley with the championship game August 2nd. Join thousands and support the Senior League Baseball World Series, July 26th through August 2nd, J.B. Owens Ballpark in Easley. Find out on social media under Senior League Baseball World Series. Prepare for Clemson's first Tiger Town Throwdown. The Clemson Area Chamber of Commerce is hosting the ultimate indoor pickleball tournament fundraiser with action inside Clemson's private indoor tennis facility. 12 courts, bleachers, vendors, food trucks, and ice-cold air conditioning in August. It's August 1st through 3rd, with adaptive kids and singles on Friday, men's and women's doubles Saturday, and mixed doubles Sunday. Divisions for all ages and levels from 3.0 to 4.5. Visit clemsonchamber.org for more information.
Looking for a tractor that works as hard as you do? Come to Mahindra of Anderson, your local source for the toughest, most reliable tractors on the market. Whether you're working the farm, maintaining your property, or need heavy-duty power, Mahindra has the perfect tractor, UTV, implement, or trailer for the job. Buy it new, shop pre-owned, schedule your service appointment, or order parts with the best customer service right here in the upstate of South Carolina. Visit Mahindra of Anderson at 507 Pyramid Dairy Road or online at mahindraofanderson.com.
So you've decided you want to have your garage floor professionally coated, but with so many companies to choose from, who should you hire? For nearly 15 years, Iron Drive Floor Coatings has installed the highest quality concrete coatings all over the upstate. With over a million square feet installed and the most five-star reviews in our industry, our guarantees stand strong. Don't trust just anybody to coat your garage floor. Trust the company with a proven track record of quality work. Get a free quote today at irondrivegaragefloors.com.
Book your next party at Carson Steakhouse in Anderson with a large private dining room to suit all of life's celebrations, corporate and social group events. Host a family or school reunion to remember. Book your reservation and they handle the rest. Double fried chicken wings, fresh baked yeast rolls, hand-cut steaks, grilled teriyaki salmon, and fresh strawberry shortcake, just to name a few delicious menu items. Make your reservation today. Call 226-9400. Again, that's 226-9400. Carson Steakhouse, Anderson.
Folks, I think we can all agree America is facing a health crisis. Lots of folks are looking at medication shots and pills to do the trick. But the reality is that the answer is natural. And the answer can be found through our friends at PhD Weight Loss. You're going to drop pounds not only safer, but also faster the natural way. I lost 24 pounds in 5 weeks without rebound weight gain, without hunger cravings, and without long-term dependency on medications because I don't want to be on medication for the rest of my life. And I bet you don't either. Dr. Ashley Lucas and her team would love to help you. Here's the deal. You can get started right now with a free body scan and personalized metabolic assessment. It takes less than 5 minutes, and I can't tell you how helpful it was for me setting myself up for success in the long term. You'll hold the keys to your personalized metabolic plan in your hand. Don't trade your health for a quick fix. Don't become another statistic. You can do this. Call now for your free body scan, 864-644-1900. That's 864-644-1900. Or go to myphdweightloss.com.
Braves fans, step up your sock game with Clemson Sock Shop and make every step a home run. That's right. Clemson Sock Shop has all the fun, funky, nostalgic socks to make you stand out in the crowd. Whether you're cheering on the Braves at the stadium, watching the game on the couch, or listening to the game recap on the Roar during your morning commute, gear up with Clemson Sock Shop. It's fun fashion for your feet. And as always, buy five, get one free. Located inside Newtique Boutique on Pendleton Square.
The Mickey Plyler Show. Try it at no obligation for 30 days or your money back. Every morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Right here on 105.5 and 97.5, The Roar. Touchdown! Where every day is game day.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us here on a Tuesday morning. And as I can tell you, I'm so happy to know I can go to tigersports.com and find out that Clemson LSU's 31 days, 17 hours, 12 minutes, and 50 seconds before the Tigers and Tigers kick off in Death Valley. So you're going to love that. I didn't realize that they have Grateful Dead Clemson t-shirts at Tiger Sports Shop. With the dancing bears and the skull, the tiger paw in it, and the other, you know, dancing teddy bear stuff they've got there. Really cool stuff. So if you're a deadhead, you get that stuff too. On sideline apparel. That stuff always looks good. Lululemon, very popular stuff. I remember when Lululemon, like my friend's daughter, they had to get their hours in advance for the open that day. Like, whoa, didn't realize Lululemon was that. But they are. Get in touch with the great friends over at Tiger Sports Shop. Two great locations. Tiger Sports Shop is at Tiger Boulevard and College Avenue. So make your way into Clemson. Students will be back here pretty soon in a couple weeks. And do that by going to Tiger Sports and TigerSports.com. In this segment, I want to do a few things. Number one is get to a couple text messages here. Free Weights Johnny or Ralph, our UGA coming through fan, says, Mickey, my goal each year is for Georgia to have 10 or less than 10 arrests and suspensions. The number's 3 right now. Do you think Georgia can keep it under 10 before the Marshall game? Well, here's the key. It's the Marshall game. So act on out. Do all the things you got to do. I don't know why we don't have, like, driver's ed at Georgia. Can you imagine if we just had a driver's ed class at Georgia? And how that would be mandatory for football team. It looks like you're going to be under 10. But the good news is it's Marshall. And despite Marshall beating Notre Dame a couple years ago, I just don't see how in the world that's going to happen there. But I will say this about Georgia. There are, like, I have concerns. Is Georgia going to run the football again? Because Georgia's not been that dominant run team that I grew up watching. Tim Worley, Herschel Walker, and Lars Tate, all those guys. Is this offensive line going to get back to being offensive line you? I mean, you seem like you recruited all the 5 stars in the world, but can Georgia fans honestly say that they felt like dominant up front in recent years? And then there's just so many newcomers. I like Gunnar Stockton. Is he going to be able to handle the pressures of everyday starting quarterback having to win a football game? I like Nate Frazier. And I think, McCray and Robinson and Cash Jones, those guys, I think they'll be fine there. But are they ready to take the next step and to do that? Oscar Delp is a great tight end, but he's not what you've seen there in the last 5 or 6 years. But is he that? Is Colby Young ready to step back up and put his pass behind him? Zachariah Branch ready to be productive rather than just be potential? Anytime we talk about Branch, it's like potential. Well, no, like, is he ready to do that now? Is Dylan Bell ready to take the next step? Is Drew Bobo the answer at center? Is Ernest Green ready to be a first-round draft pick? Can Monroe Freeling pick back up where he get beat so bad in the Notre Dame game? And while I do like K.J. Bolden and Dalen Everett and Aguero and C.J. Allen, there's still a lot of question marks on defense, a lot of question marks up front on defense. It just feels weird to say it that the lines of scrimmage now are kind of a question mark for Georgia. They've recruited well. But until we see it, we'll see. I'd like to see Georgia line up and run the football a little bit this year. Georgia Greg might have something to say about that. Good morning, Greg. Thanks for hanging on. How you doing?
I'm good, Mickey. How are you?
Fantastic.
It's funny you were talking about this. I was going to call you, actually. I was going to throw out two unpopular opinions, I'm sure, on this show, just based on what I've been thinking as well as you. And I'm exactly where you are. I don't know what Georgia's going to be this year. I just don't. And that's, in some ways, you know, a nervous thing, and in some ways maybe an exciting thing. I remember back in the early 90s, Spurrier had a really good team in 91, but it was full of a lot of experienced guys, and it was all, you know, freshmen, sophomores coming back in 92, and he was just, you know, they played Alabama in the 91 first SEC championship, then turned around in 92, and he said, well, I don't think we got – and that team was just came out. The young guys were just really talented and played great and all that. So I don't know if Georgia's going to take a step back because of inexperience this year and all the young guys, or if they're actually going to overachieve what the expectations are. What I was going to ask you was, while Georgia is kind of unknown in a lot of places, kind of, in my, I hope, under undervalued. Clemson comes in this year very heavily valued. And so this is an unpopular take, and Clemson, I can see Klubnik. I remember Aaron Murray. You remember Aaron Murray?
Oh, yeah.
The first 2 years developing, I think they have, you know, some similarities. And I remember the end of his sophomore year when he played Alabama in the SEC championship. I really didn't think we had much of a chance. Came back hard in the second half, and I think it propelled him into 2013 where he was doing – I mean, they were scoring, you know, 35 against Clemson, 42 against LSU, 42 against South Carolina. And then all his skill players got hurt. But Aaron Murray just took off to me into another level. And I definitely could see Klubnik doing that. But then again, there's another part of me like, so if you look at Klubnik's games last year against the top teams he played, he didn't play that great. So does it necessarily mean he's going to play great this year? I don't know. So it's kind of like, you know, I wonder, and I'm not, you know, as a rival fan, of course I'm going to say this. I'm going to say, hey, is Georgia undervalued and Clemson overvalued, or is everybody right on what their assessment is? And I don't know. I'm just curious what your thoughts are.
I would agree with that. I would say that and Klubnik made moves last year, but you're right, against Georgia, and they didn't let him cut it loose against Georgia. I think that was game plan and a lot of youth and inexperience at wide receiver, not knowing what you had. As the season went on, the freshmen did get more involved. Those two freshman receivers caught 90 passes and 10 touchdowns as the season went along. You say the big games, like South Carolina against one of the best defenses, 24-36, 280 yards, no touchdowns, one pick. Against in the ACC championship game, 24-41, 262, four touchdowns, no picks. To me, the one I'd give hope about was Texas, because against Texas, he threw for 336, three touchdowns and a pick. And it seemed like
that was my similarity to Aaron Murray.
Right.
Remember, that's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Aaron Murray's second year,
right,
exploded against Alabama, exploded against Nebraska, and then really took off in 2013. I can see that. Yeah. I can see the similarities there.
Well,
and
the other thing is
the weapons he has.
But they trusted Aaron Murray more, and I think you're starting to trust Klubnik more now. And so instead of being manager and bringing these other receivers along a little slower, now you might cut it loose a little bit more. And you don't have experience at running back, so maybe that's the focus now. You kind of turn it loose. And they did that with Murray. You know, as your senior year and more weapons around you, like, you're going to accentuate that a little more. I would expect a good year from him. Just he's just seen more, done more, is my expectation.
I agree with that. I agree 100% what you said about Georgia's running game was their staple. It was their go-to. Whenever things weren't going great, they always could go back on that. And that's – and especially with – Stopman, because you don't, you know, first year really, if you don't have that base you can fall back on, if Frazier Robinson don't stand out this year, Stopman's not going to feel comfortable getting all the new weapons he's got coming outside. So, yeah, I 100% agree. The key is our offensive line, which is a bunch of people, unknowns. Are they gonna step up and be, you know, take us to what our staple has been over the years, is a running game you can count on?
You're gonna need it. You're gonna need it because you got to get better at running the football. There's no doubt about that for sure. Greg, always appreciate it, buddy.
Yep.
Thanks an awful lot. I think I'm right by saying this. Let me make sure I'm right on the rushing stats per game. Georgia in 23 rushed for 191 yards a game. Last year, Georgia rushed for 124 yards a game. I think I'm right. If this website, this college football website, is correct, that's a big difference. 124. In 2022, they rushed for 205 yards a game on the ground. Like, that's the 15-0 national championship team. So you're talking about 90 or 80 less yards per game rushing than the some of those great teams in the past. Man, that's just 124 doesn't get it. Now, matter of fact, Georgia gave up more yards rushing than they allowed last year. I mean, they allowed more than they rushed last year. We talked about good teams stop the run and run the football. And don't get me wrong, I mean, Carson Beck was a dependable guy. He thought was going to be that. And there were question marks at running back going into the season. But still, man, like, and they had injuries back there. I get it. But you got to rush for more than 120 yards a game. And that's what Georgia has traditionally done. And that was tell about you, man. This is some of the greatest running backs in college football history. You got to get back to that. So I think of the guys, I mean, obviously Gunnar Stockton is a big deal, but Nate Frazier's got to be a huge deal, right? Got to be able to run the football more. That number's very surprising me. I'm going to double-check that number to make sure it's right. Because you look at the number, you're like, that just sticks out. Like, what? 124 a game? What? It's not right. Anyway, hey, let me tell you about my great friends at Trail. Trail has some unbelievable things to do. 10 consecutive years of being recognized by South Carolina Business News as one of the best places to work in South Carolina. Now, this is amazing because the people that nominate you for the best place to work are your employees. And that is 10 straight years. So fantastic stuff there. Hey, earlier this month, they had their annual community night at Floor Field. And, you know, they partnered with some community partners, Gateway and Piedmont Women's Center and Rebuild Upstate and Soteria and United Ministries. And so the partnerships, they view these organizations across the impact of the region, and they're very, very proud of that for sure. A new hire, want to welcome Blake Foster as a project engineer, doing a great job there. And I want you to go to Trail Tailored Homes and find out more about this natural light and rockwood home feature that they're doing and making your natural light look so much better in your living spaces. That's trailtailoredhomes.com. Check it out. An awful lot of great things going on at Trail, including 10 straight years of being voted by their employees as the best place to work in South Carolina. That parlays to your better experience. 800-319-7006, TRELHEL.com. Tony Morrell kicks off hour number 3 right after this.